Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
America Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the Female Solution. And we have designated the last Wednesday of each month as a male-only conversation that men talk among themselves concerning a myriad of important subject matter. I want you to take care of some fundraising efforts first. We are in the month of Ramadan, and this is our fundraising efforts, or the Ramadan fundraising efforts to help fund the community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I want to share this with you, and we'll be right back, inshallah. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing. We shall open up the lines of my co-host, Naima Latif, and give her the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. Naima, your mic is open.
Right. Yes. Yes, so we are back, and we have introduced the subject to our listening audience and are preparing them for your discussion after this public announcement finishes.
Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Yes, and we are back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, for this men-only discussion, and we are prepared to hear what the men have to say about private education and critical race theory. And we want to know exactly what is critical race theory. Is it as what some whites are fearing, that we're going to paint them as evil monsters responsible for all the world's problems and cruel people whose descendants are still responsible for the vestiges of slavery and oppression? Will their children be made to feel bad about themselves because we're teaching the history of what happened? Is this what critical race theory is all about, or is it about simply explaining what happened so that we can correct injustices and imbalances in our society? And private education, should schools have the power to teach what they want? And is that better so that we don't have these conflicts over what should be taught? And what is our responsibility for our own education? So we're looking forward to this men-only discussion today, led by our host today, Kareem Hamid. Thank you so much. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Why, you are welcome. And Ramadan Mubarak. To all of us that are fasting in this blessed month, I have some guests in the lineup here. I want to ask Abdul Shahid if he would press 1 on his phone. That's an indication. I see your number, but you would, there we go. And I ask Wali Ayub Bilal if you would press 1 on your phone. Oh. Okay, and I ask Imam Dilesi Umar if he would to press 1 on his phone. Praise be to Almighty God. Okay, we have Ayub Bilal with us. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. And Brother Kareem, if you could have them. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem. If you could ask them to please spell their name when they first speak so we can pull it up on our screen here on our YouTube and Facebook page so we can make sure we identify them properly. They can spell their name when they first come on to speak. JazakAllah. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Wali Ayub Bilal, if you would, please introduce yourself and spell your name, please. Wait a minute. Let me open up this mic. Okay. Imam Wally Ayu Bilal. Please introduce yourself and spell your name, please.
Yes, I'm Wally Ayu Bilal. I'm the imam out of the Philadelphia area. My name is spelt W-A-L-I, middle name A-Y-Y-U-B, and last name B as in brother, I-L-A-L. I am honored by Imam Hamid calling me last night and asking me to be on this morning, and the two questions, racism and privacy and in schools. My belief has been for some time, I guess since the Nation of Islam, that we should have.
Imam Wadi. We'll get into further discussion as we move along. I know it's a very intriguing subject matter. Yes, sir. Okay. Imam Delacy Omar, would you please introduce yourself and spell your name, please?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, peace and blessings. Ramadan Mubarak, blessed month of Ramadan to everyone. My first name is D as in David, E-L-A-C-I-E, and Ummah, U-M-M-A-H.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. All right. Abdul Shaheed, would you please introduce yourself to the audience and give a correct spelling of your name, if you would, please?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. This is Abdul Shaheed. Of course, A-B-D-U-L. Last name Shaheed, S-H-A-H-E-E-D.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The subject matter that we shall discuss this morning is the subject of private education and critical race theory. We shall give a brief explanation of what critical race theory implies. But first, I want to share with you some words from our freedom fighter, Dr. Martin Luther King, to kind of set the stage here of why it is important that we as men talk with each other on a myriad of important subject matter. I bring you now the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King. Maybe pay close attention. This may set the tone for this honest and open discussion. Here we go.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. Somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in the dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will call. Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Okay, praise be to Almighty God. That was,
thank you very kindly, Mike.
That was a address that our Dr. Martin Luther King shared with us to be proud of who we are and do not be swayed by others defining you, defining who we are and our attributes. Later on in that address, he states that if the so-called Negro is to be free, he has to look down into his own soul and use the pen of self-asserted manhood and write his own declaration of independence, that we must look down into our soul and take the pen of self-asserted manhood and write our own declaration of independence. So praise be to Almighty God. Allah. We have two subject matters here, and to me they correlate. It is private education and critical race theory. Let me somewhat share with you just briefly some aspects of critical race theory. Critical race theory is a cross-disciplinary examination by social and civil rights scholars and activists of how laws, social and political movements, and media shape and are shaped by social conceptions of race and ethnicity. The goals include challenging all mainstream and alternative views. The scholars of critical race theory say that race is not biologically grounded and natural. Rather, it is a socially constructed category used to oppress people that they have deemed as minorities. Scholars of critical race theory say that race is not biologically grounded and natural. It is a social construct used to oppress and exploit people of color, and that racism is not an aberration, but a normalized feature of American society. According to critical race theory, negative stereotypes assigned to members of minority groups benefit so-called white people and increase racial oppression. Individuals can belong to a number of different identity groups. The someone is moving around. I'm hearing a lot of background, unfortunately. If you would, mute yourself, please. Praise be to Allah. It is alleged improvements or advantages to people of color tend to serve the interests of dominant white groups in what the scholar Bell calls interest convergence. These changes do not typically affect and at times even reinforce racial hierarchies. This is representative of the shift in the 1970s in Bell's reassessment of his earlier desegregation work as a civil rights lawyer. He was responding to the Supreme Court's decision that had resulted in the resegregation of schools. Praise be to Allah. So critical race theory is questioning the legitimacy of race and how race is baked into the fabric of the society in which we live. And there are myths that are made up stories, and there is actual fact and truth about the history of this country and its citizens. And it is just an idea that has been discussed. But now we are seeing the education have made that one of their priorities to move against, to not fully support the telling of the full truth. Our history books is just that. It is his story. Our narration is his narration from a Eurocentric point of view. So I'm going to ask if you would, let me, who shall I call on first? If you would, Abdul Shahid, if you would share with us your musing on private education and critical race theory, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much.
If we can be as succinct as possible, then we will safely utilize this precious time that we have. Thank you. Go ahead, my brother.
Thank you, sir. We'd like to greet everyone again with the greeting of peace. As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak. And I'd like to thank Imam Kareem for inviting us on this platform. It's excellent subject matter. When it comes to critical race theory, we all know, especially the African American, that it's not for K through 12 schools. It's not to educate them on critical race theory. It is to do an analysis of what happened to African-American people in this country and how we're being impacted from various policies that have been really thrust upon us. So our people have a certain behavior, and there are people who want to analyze why this is the case. And just common sense dictates that we need to make an analysis of what happened and how these policies, integration, affect our people. This is just plain common sense. We know we've been impacted in terms of our upward mobility, in terms of the progress in our community, and there's a cause and there's an effect. This is what the critical race theory is all about, to get to the root cause of why we behave the way we do. And, of course, we all have been impacted by something in our life. And when it comes to education, the parent is responsible for educating their children. The parent, ultimately, is responsible. The government cannot be parents. This is part of the overall problem in our society. The government is not set up to be parents, and they can't be parents. So the parents are responsible for educating their children. If the parents are not responsible, how is the parent to look out for the future generation? It is through education. I don't care how complicated it might seem to be, but we know that the Almighty Source Creator has placed everything in us to take care of our community life. It's already inside of us, and that's where education comes from. Come from what's inside of us. Each and every one of us have traits and qualification and expertise that the Almighty has put inside of us. This is what education is about, drawing those things out of us and manifesting them. If we have teachers that do not understand the background of where the student is coming from, do not really care and love the student learning about what their future holds, that's going to be a negative impact on that child. No matter how smart the teacher think that they are, but if the child is not loved and cared for, and there's no concern about the family life of what's impacting that child, how is the child going to learn properly? When I look back on my own education, yes, sir.
It's a good. No, you asked a good question.
Oh yes, thank you. When I look back on my own educational process, starting in kindergarten, I knew from the very first day that I was surrounded by a teacher that loved me, no matter what my family situation was at home. And I felt comfortable in that situation. And the majority of our teachers back then was African-American teachers, and they were very well qualified to do the job. And I still carry that impression even until today. And many of my classmates, when we talk about the same thing. They still feel the impact of those excellent teachers. But today, the majority of our public schools, the teachers are Caucasian, female. And this is a problem. So critical race theory is to analyze those things that impact the upward mobility of our people. But, of course, the policymakers are going to take advantage of that because the status quo is what they're trying to maintain. So I'll just leave it at that at this point. But private education is a must. Private education is a must. We cannot just leave education to the government. once government is involved with education, now you have a brainwashing, and that is not education. Education is to pull out of the human being what the Almighty has put there to make progress for the whole society. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Abdul Shaheed, for your enlightening commentary. Okay, I want to call on Wali Ayub-Bilal, if you would very succinctly give some statements in regards to what we are presenting this morning, private education and critical race theory, if you would, Imam Bilal.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the invitation, number one. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. And I feel
Ramadan Mubarak. Wa alaykum as-salam.
As I mentioned a moment ago, I'm very honored at your request today. Even though I'd have been good just if you'd have told me just get on and listen to the Shaheed and DeLacy and yourself, I'd have welcomed that just as much. You know what I mean? So I'm very honored. All of us, I guess. I'm 75. My family was strong in the South, and my family is strong in up here in the North in Philadelphia. My father, his brothers, and a sister. Not all his brothers, and not all his sisters, but about a good six of them came up this end before I was born. I was raised myself. Most of my family lived in Philadelphia, North Philly, which was basically African-American community. Myself, we lived in a neighborhood where there were African-Americans to our left and to our rear, but right in the center where we lived, there was a school across the street from where we lived, and it was mostly Caucasian. I can't say I remember as far back to there, but I remember certain things that was taught to us that shouldn't have been taught to us, especially by the time I got into sixth grade. There were things put in front of us. Matter of fact, it was a movie, and like I said, I'm in the sixth grade, and they presented a movie on the rich man's drug. Never forgot it. Never forgot it, and I questioned the teacher about it at that time. They showed us that, and I asked the question, why? You know, why are you telling us that? And they didn't really, as adults, they didn't really have a good excuse, but as I got older, I see that the pattern is we were living in a society across this country that didn't mind putting anything before us as children. And I don't know how it affected their children, but I know from looking even today as guns are put in our neighborhood, it works against us. Coming into the Nation of Islam, I know that there were schools established around the country by Christians, et cetera, but I know that I of the Nation of Islam was our own schools, teaching our own. Now, those of us that's on this phone, we know that speaking so far, we know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't actually teach racism. He gave us a message to pick us up. Those who didn't see themselves as strong enough to do things, he called us to do for ourselves. As we read the Quran, the Quran says to us, God, Allah, Arabic, Allah, but still saying the God, created us different so we'll learn from one another. So even the trial that we went through as a people, it is almost a command from God, from Allah, the Creator, for us to have our own schools, not to teach racism, but in order to make progress. And in time, he says, in us, you know, learning from each other, there's also a people that comes in following the rules so much so that they become a mercy to humanity. That mercy to humanity is not always the government. Matter of fact, we can see that in America, it may be very few times it's the government that looked out for the people, because the government has been there the whole time. We've suffered as a people. So our example, I believe, and I get it from my father, I get it from who was not a Muslim, didn't live to become a Muslim. Before he died, he knew I came into Islam, and my brother came out of the, I came out first of Vietnam and joined the nation. Then my brother, when he came from Germany, he joined the nation. And he went to my brother's wedding, and he felt so good about us as a body of people that he said, if I could live longer, I'd become a Muslim. He didn't live long enough to do that. May Allah accept that as his plea to be following that particular message. But nonetheless, in the training that we got as a body of people, the education was to do for self. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't teach us to hate the Caucasian. Yes, we had to look at his actions as a majority in the world. But remember, he also said, don't think they just do this to you. If you wasn't around, they'll do it to each other. So there's something that has been wrong in the education of the leaders who have been somewhat put in charge over those many years, no matter what country they were in. Even when we look at what is being done today in Russia, how could they feel comfortable? I've been in a war. I've seen destruction in Vietnam. How do they feel comfortable just to want to destroy people because they can't rule them? At least that's what I get out of that picture. And the world should be saying, the whole world should be saying, Russia, stop or we all come against you. So the teaching of ourselves, having our own educational fields, actually would be a help to humanity because we'll live an example. And that example would be to pull yourself up and be good. You know, because like I said, we don't, nobody, I don't believe, have to be taught to hate. But when we see that the educational systems was right in our face as we were children, teaching us we're nothing. The books taught us we were nothing. You know, later on we got more material, and we found out about the Bulls and, you know, all the different African-Americans who took a stand. Frederick Douglass was my hero as a youngster, him and Harriet Tubman. You know what I mean? So, but today, when we look at all that we've had since then, we have to work together and establish schools, not just our Sister Clara Muhammad schools or our University of Islam, but our brothers and sisters who are Christians. We have to establish schools that teaches the human being, particularly the African-American human being, that God is with us. We're not, and one of my favorite ayats, that when the victory comes, we're in the day of the victory today. When the victory comes, stay humble, stay in prayer, and don't do to them what they did to you. So those in authority, or look to be in authority, they fear retribution. We don't want retribution. All we want you to get out of the way. And I believe when we have our own schools, you know, we fund our own schools, then we could teach our children. And if we let other children come to the school, which I don't think I've ever heard it said that they can, they will learn. And there might be some children who would look at what took place and dislike what their foreparents did. They should dislike it. If I find out my grandfather was a devil, I'm going to dislike him. What we're saying as a people is not an attack on them. It's just let's tell the truth. Every human being, we see today more autism in our community, that's the community of African Americans, than probably we've ever seen in our life. But they deserve a chance because many of them are smarter than us in some things. There's some young children here. So when we look at that,
couple children up here. I got two in my family that I'm aware of, my grandson. But at the same time, there's some in the family that's just a little bit older than them. But they can read language. My oldest one, that's about 10, something like that, he can get on the computer and do language that his mother can't even understand. But the teacher sees that the child is understanding it. So, yeah, so there's a choice that humanity got to make. Do we hide the dirt and keep allowing it to slip out here and there? Or do those of us know that we can handle anger? I believe I have never hated anyone. I'll put you in the hospital if you push for it, but I have never hated nobody. This society has allowed the schools, the hospitals, the banks, and everything to be unjust to us because of the color of our skin, even after robbing us of knowledge, not allowing us to teach. So we're not trying to open private schools or look at racism with an eye to get back. That's easy to do. That's real easy. What we have to do is set a better pattern by first educating with truth. Who's God? Man ain't God. Educating with truth and bringing out all possibilities. And how do we know? How do we, particularly the Muslim, know? So God says it. I made you different so you can learn from one another. So that means the Caucasian, the Hispanic, and they come in Caucasian too. They come in black too. The Russian, the whatever. All of us got something to teach the other if we be human. But if we
Thank
got
you.
A body of people, yes, sir, if we got a body of people, just say this if I can. If we got a body of people that's leading the world and want to keep a cover on destruction to the human race, then we need to get up, and that needs to be a battle for real. But we must establish educational centers that belong to us, that teach the truth to help the whole of humanity. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Imam
yes,
Wali Ayub Bilal. Okay,
yes,
I want to open up the
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Before we go to the next caller, can we take a quick break? We got to take our break at the
yes,
every 30 minutes. And we'll be right back
okay.
after this quick break.
Don't touch that dial.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a while.
Inshallah. Stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not you use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with my co-host, Kareem Hamid, and today is a men-only discussion. Every last Wednesday of the month, we give the men an opportunity to address issues among themselves, and we, the women, we listen because we want to understand more about how they think so that we can learn how to best work together. We have to form this partnership, but sometimes we don't understand how men think, and so we need to listen. So in this last Wednesday of the month, we asked men to call in on the American Muslim 360 line, where Kareem Hamid is hosting a fabulous panel of speakers to address the topic of private education and critical race theory. Call in 515-605. 9891. And sisters, we're going to be on for a brief after show from 9 to 9:30 Central Time. And we'll reflect on what we heard in today's discussion. So I believe we're back with our host for the day, Kareem Hamidi, and our panel.
Yes. Yes, we are back. I could call upon Imam Delacy Omar if he would share with us his comments on private education and critical race theory, if you would, Imam Umar.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. And our hats off to Sister Naima Latif for having such a wonderful program, the Female Solution, and then allocating the last Wednesday of each month for the males-only discussions. We appreciate that. I also want to say salam to everyone, peace and blessings, especially to our panel, co-panelists, Brother Dale and Brother Shahid, Ramadan Mubarak, to everyone. I want to twist it just a little bit on education. You know, I was looking at this technology going forward called ChatGPT. And, you know, this technology is threatening to alter education as we know it, even as far as the matter, as engineers, architects, et cetera, they are developing technology that's going to make those jobs take on a different form. You know, we probably going to always need engineers and architects and other administrators, but it's going to be a lot different. Their skills are not going to be needed as much as, and now it is artificial intelligence moving at such a fast pace. But there is a need to look at Booker T. Washington's program in Tuskegee, how he developed that with Dr. George Carver, how they went to the building and the basic trade, and there's a movement now in the government to promote vocational skills, carpentry, masonry, plumbing, welding, et cetera, et cetera, all of the basic things that you need to build with. And, you know, this was the focus that when we began our ascension from slavery and Jim Crowism, et cetera, there was a debate about academia versus vocational training, et cetera, et cetera. And Dr. Booker T. Washington, of course, took the vocational pathway. I'm encouraging and working with young people, also encouraging development of skills and basic certifications. Everyone is not going to be a college material. I think we got to take another look at education, and if we want to build model communities and make progress, we need builders. We need people who take the hands-on approach, not to limit or diminish the need for academics. Because even in building, you got to be able to read blueprints. You got to be able to measure and calculate and all of those things. So you get to, you know, I really never understood what fractions were for until I got a tape measure and started to measure in materials to cut, to build, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that was the practical application of fractions they had us studying so much in school. But just wanted to make that comment on education that we as men, we need to pass on our skill sets to the younger generation. And that those skill sets also should be viewed as our vision, our perception, and how we feel about the future of our community. You know, pass those ideas along, that legacy. Let's make sure that it's living and moving forward. You know, I'm a Floridian. I live in Florida, where we have I'm circling back now to critical race, where we have a governor, Ron DeSantis, that's he's very aggressive in terms of nominating himself to be the watcher over the, I would say, the Caucasian entry. And I haven't heard him really address minority interests since I've been listening to him. I haven't. So I think I can fairly say that he's really more concerned with the interests of Caucasian people than he is people of color. But his efforts are very, very, very active in trying to make sure that the things that protect and promote their ideology is what put forward. That's not critical race theory. I don't know what it is. You know, that he can take a preference, and it's racism. It's racism and bigotry. He can take a preference to promote one people's ideology and not be respective as a governor for all the people of the state, not be respective of the needs of the other people. So, you know, this critical race theory has just been a talking point that political savvy people use to promote their idea or to tap into the prejudices of other people. And, you know, we've experienced a great and bountiful overdose of bigotry, hatred, animosity, all of the things that really work to destroy society. So I'll just leave it there because I think I've said enough to bring home the point. And again, maybe we have some comments later. Thank you. Thank you, Imam Kareem, as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your wonderful, excellent commentary. Imam Delaysi Umar, praise be to Allah. I want to share now. You know, we have an educational system in this country, but it is Eurocentrically focused. It is Eurocentrically focused. And it does not meet the needs of the total society. You know, in the Christian scripture, it says, know ye the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, the lie is racial superiority. And even the Caucasian should be embracing critical race theory to free themselves. The idea of superiority is an idea that the so-called Caucasian cannot live up to, and he is tormented by that. The progress and excellent demonstration of other people, he sees that as a threat to his position of superiority, instead of utilizing the best of what he finds among other people, and that best is shared, and the total society benefits from it. You know, in the history of slavery, there were rice plantations placed, I think it was in the Carolinas, I'm not sure. But the Caucasian had no idea of how to profitably grow rice. But the people that were brought here from East Africa, they were very proficient rice growers. And they taught the Caucasian how to successfully grow rice. That is coming in touch with each other and becoming familiar with all of our attributes. So the sharing of knowledge. Now, and I reiterate, know you the truth and the truth will set you free. Caucasians, if you want to stop agonizing, if you want to stop sitting up worrying and biting your fingernails over the advancement of other people, you have to do away with the lie that you are a superior race. Take a deep breath and ease yourself of that torment. Ease yourself of that frame of mind that somewhat irritates you. So critical race theory, as human beings, not just as African Americans, but as human beings, we are aware of our past. And it's not enough just to brush it aside and let's move forward. There is a cause. There is a cause and an effect. And unless the cause is discussed and called out then we shall continue to live under the effects and the idea of white supremacy and white superiority. Our curriculum books are loaded with fallacies and lies that uplift one race. And this is, I'm talking about what is taught in our school systems. So Abdul Shaheed said something that was very important, and I'm quite sure we all agree, that we must establish an educational system, a school system that teaches the truth, you know, that teaches the truth. If we want our children to progress, then we have to take on the responsibility of properly educating them. You know, we have very learned African-Americans among us, high degrees coming from institutions of higher learning. But how is that benefiting us as a people? They have been educated in institutions that take the focus off of doing for yourself, creating the best for yourself. So having a private school system which shifts the interest, the view, the perception of us and others as a people is very important. We are in a universal world now. Globalization is real. And the old world is not adequate enough to move the human being forward. We must come into a new perception, a new way of thinking, and a different view of the whole world if we are to make progress. So the idea of establishing private education so that our children qualify to function successfully in this global and universal reality that we are in, they must be taught the truth and the equality of the human being. And the equality of the human being, that is our responsibility as parents. When you enter into a public school system, then you cannot teach what your heart may desire. They set the curriculum. They set what will be taught because it is a public school system. But if you have your own private school, then we have the right to teach our students the truth, the truth. I'll stop right there. Is there anyone? Let me see if we have someone that may have pressed one on the phone. No, I see no one now. But any males out there that wish to join this conversation, we ask that you press one on your phone and let's talk about it. Private education and critical race theory. The obligation is upon us. The responsibility is upon us to educate our children properly so they can function in this global society, this global economy, this global environment that we're in. The old world is passing away, and there's nothing wrong with critiquing the old world so we do not make those same mistakes as we move forward. Okay, I'll stop right there.
Assalamu alaikum.
I want to solicit. Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes. It's time to take another break, but we got a couple callers on our line, so we'll come to them right after this quick break. Men, if you want to call in 515-605-9891, then Kareem will see you directly on his switchboard. I see we've got calls on our switchboard. So we will come to you after the break. And sister, today we're just listening so we can understand how men think, so we can form a better partnership as we solve the issues of our time. So we'll have a quick after show at 9 o'clock, women, so we can discuss what we heard. But we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters. We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl. And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and today is Men's Day, the men-only discussion in which we are talking about private education and critical race theory. And we've got a comment on the Facebook and YouTube page. Beata, our Friday host, says, I don't experience white supremacy in my world. As a conscious human, I check ignorance. I check any ignorance that shows up from any race to assist my grandchildren's healthy development and become an educator at home along with their public school experience. Well, that is something we have the power to do. we really don't have to acknowledge ignorance and empower it with our attention. How do we do that? Thank you, Viola. We're going to talk about that further at the after show. Women, stay on. We're going to listen in as the men continue to discuss this issue, and I'm going to open up the mic. And sisters, we're going to have time to really analyze how they have addressed this issue of private education and critical race theory. And I think we're back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our panels. And we'll open mics to get comments and get your thoughts. And brothers, we're going to listen as you have this discussion at 9 o'clock. And women who want to call in, you need to call in before 9-515-605-9325 to the Female Solution Line. That's 515-605-9325. You got to call in before 1 because the switchboard cuts down at 1 o'clock. So call in and join us for the after show discussion for the men only. Look at private education and critical race theory. So I believe we're back. And are you ready for me to open the mics of some of our callers? And, of course, if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, man, call in 515-605-9891. And women, call in 515-605-9325. And any men on our line, if you press 1, I'll let our host know and we'll open the mic and get your thoughts as we take a look at private education and critical race theory. And some whites have said we're teaching reverse racism. We're teaching black children to hate white people and white children to hate themselves, and they don't think that's right. But what do you think? What do you think? And what is our responsibility to teach what we believe our children need to know? If we say the public school isn't doing well, what should they do? Yes.
You know, with the history of Germany, they are a very proud people. They are very industrious, and they add value to our lives at this time. But they had among them, born among them, was one of the most vile men in the history of the world. That was Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
And the establishment of the Nazi Party. They have had a truth and reconciliation about that. They have discussed that openly. They have not shunned it. And they have learned from the mistakes of the past. And they are moving forward. It's the same with us and this country. Matter of fact, in South Africa, they had a truth and reconciliation, huge meeting, admitting what took place, admitting the errors. And the whole society, inshallah, will benefit from that. You know, in order for a sore to heal, you have to give it some air.
Yeah.
You have to give it air. And over time, there's a scab that that forms itself over that sore. It protects it, and it keeps it from festering and growing. It's the same with ideas that are diseased. The admission of that and to critique that will solve a lot of our social ills. So embarrassment and shame, you know, there's a way of moving beyond that. I may be ashamed of something that I've done in my past, but I can make the correction myself. I can be a better person and not make that mistake or that error again. Is the same with the critical race theory. Let's admit that all people are created equal and endowed by their creator, by God. with certain inalienable rights. Among those rights is the right to life, liberty, and to own property, the pursuit of happiness. So in order to move forward, we have to pull, we have to give the womb the light of day to air it, out, to openly discuss the errors of those that came before us. There's nothing wrong with that. If we are to heal as a nation and move forward, we must have the courage to critique what we have been given as a way of education, as a way of governing ourselves, and as a way of value systems, how we value a thing, how we feel about a thing. These things have to be aired. If we have been given an education that does not meet the fullness of the whole society, there's nothing wrong with that. But I agree with those that have spoken earlier. I don't believe that that is the responsibility of government. No, that is the responsibility of every parent, of every community that have children. That is our responsibility as parents, no matter what color we are. Education is your responsibility as a parent, and you want to make sure that you are giving your children the best education, the best set of priorities, the best moral standards to govern their lives. So to critique, but I'm not relying on government to do that. I'm calling on us as citizens in this country that we take responsibility for the proper education of our children. And inshallah, that will reconstruct that the aberrant behavior of the citizenry of this country, the idea of white supremacy. So there's nothing wrong with having private education. We cannot give that to another people. That is foolish. We have to educate our own. And I call on Caucasian educators. Educate, but give proper education. Tell the students listen to this, this first word, the therapeutic truth. The therapeutic truth. We need therapy in this country. We need therapy. We need to analyze what has happened to us and how we can make the correction. So this fear of critical race theory, don't try to save your face. Saving face. Don't save your face and lose your rear end. You won't have no one to say.
I'm going to have to use that one. Well, we've got some callers on the line. here we want to go to. We can open the mic, or we can take in this order, 314-677 and 773-450. So hold on. And then after that, 773-436. Let's go first to 314-677. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments on this topic.
It's your favorite. How you doing?
Excellent. It's Brother Pianki.
You know, one of my favorite topics.
Pianki, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, one of my favorite topics is
I know
black kids, students. And, you know, we have worked for independent education, especially alternative education, schools of choice, which I am a strong proponent for. But you know your topic today, when you talk about private schools, I'm for private schools. If parents want to have private schools, they want your children to go to private schools, it's perfectly fine. You can choose whatever curriculum you want, whatever textbooks you want. Go ahead and do it. And also, even in public schools, the state statutes in Missouri says that your textbooks, curriculum, and instruction material can be whatever you want it to be in the public schools in Missouri. But here's the point. That ain't happening in the public schools. Because apparently the parents and the people, somebody's got them need to mute their mic because it's got a lot of noise. Moving furniture or something, I don't know. But that's not happening. Academics is just not there. There in Chicago on South Stewart Street, you got Barbara Sizemore School, which is 97% black. All the teachers are black. And this is a charter school. But when you look at the performance, you got 8% of the students that's proficient in math at grade level and 3% in reading. Philadelphia, the average teacher wage salary in Philadelphia public schools told out to be about $98,000 when it was last reported. About $78,000 in salary and about another $16,000 in benefits to go up on that. That's about $94,000. So I don't understand all these claims of things not happening the way they should do when you got the power to make it happen. As far as critical race theory, I'm totally against that in public schools. You have parents come out and say they don't want it. You have marches by Asians in New York say they don't want it. You got blacks that say they don't want it. So I do agree with you that the parents have a right to choose what their child is taught. Look at the Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. They came out to a school district meeting, board meeting in Groves, talking down CRT and also the sexual explicit books that's being introduced in the public schools in Dearborn, Michigan. And the Biden administration, which blacks came out and supported overwhelmingly, well, they DOJ, the FBI, put many of those citizens that came out complaining on the no-fly list. I'll stay with Muslims, I guess. So people come up with all these explanations, but you got the power to teach your kids whatever you want to. You got Brother Ibrahim School there, Akeem, on Natural Bridge in Garrison. It's more like a daycare center. The last time I seen, people were, even a Muslim in Mars 28, Brother Muhammad's Mars over there on West Floyd. And actually, yeah, that's West Floyd. I don't know what the number of students, or should I say children that's among the members there, but they don't go to Brother Ibrahim's school in any great numbers. In the high school, my grandson went over to Cardinal River. It was a lot of Muslim students that I used to go over to Brother Ibrahim's school and teach some subjects. They end up at Cardinal River. So apparently the parents just don't want their kids to go to some of these schools and be influenced by some of these subjects. And that there is something that has to be dealt with the parents. I don't know what it is. So, yes, sir. Yes.
Yes, you know, yes, there has to be first, the parents themselves need a re-education, you know? They were formed and shaped from the educational system that shaped and formed them. But there are some parents that are conscious. You know, I'm quite sure this won't happen all at once. Not all at once. It may start small. But that consciousness shall continue to grow, you know, as we educate parents along with students, you know, and they are trying to pollute critical race theory with LGBTQ the same way that they have tried to water down race relations in this country by adding LGBTQ to that subject matter. They are piggybacking on the social ills attached to race. But LGBTQ has nothing to do with race. They are latching themselves to it. So we have the right to be selective and discriminating about what our children are taught. You know,
well, let me ask you
about
a question,
what our
Brother
children
Pateki.
Are taught. So this,
let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When you're talking about the LGBTQ group, who is the they you talking about? That's another thing. When we talk about
well,
these
whatever
subjects,
that
we use a, hang on for a second
what,
real
whatever
quick. Let
that
me explain
move,
and go. And
but
I
was
you,
what,
you got
what,
the right
I
answer.
Was species.
Huh?
Kianti, all I'm saying is that we recognize a foreign element being introduced into the education of our children. We recognize that.
Well,
and we
hang
have
on,
the right
well, hang on a second.
To,
well, hang on a second. I think who you talk we, about today is the activism that wants to promote that. And amongst that day, you got people of many different shades and hues. You got blacks amongst those days that want
right.
That,
that has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with race. Nothing. It has nothing to
well,
do with race. It is, some,
yeah,
it
but
is someone's
I understand
perception.
It has nothing to do. I understand
oh.
You say, if, you know, King, sometimes I hate to call in because I always end up in an argument with y'all. It's always an argument.
We aren't arguing, Kiaki.
Yes, you are, because I'm trying to say something and you're talking over me. Now, can I say
well,
what I got
wait
to
a minute.
Say, please?
I am. Hold it, Kiaki. Hold it. I am the host of this presentation.
Well, why did you ask people to call in?
And, well, Kiaki, if you feel that you're not being treated justly, then
and then why do you talk about
this.
Justice then?
Well,
all I ask is let me say what I got to say. You're doing a disservice for those that's listening.
No, Kiaki, you have
well, just
been
let
given
me say what I got to say. We don't have to
time.
Do any
well,
further.
All right, go ahead, Kiaki.
As
go
I was saying,
we
he
have
said
discussions
that already.
Like
let me say what I'm going to say. In your day, you have blacks that do consider themselves as a particular ethnic group and also pertaining to a race. They want critical race theory. And then on the other side, you got Asians and other every other ethnic group in this country that don't want it in the public schools in particular. They can have whatever they want to in their private schools. But you know what's wrong with the private schools? Parents of these memberships, these groups, they don't want to send their kids to these schools. So you got a heck of a problem. It's not whites that's doing it. It's the people that you're trying to target. So I'm totally against critical race theory being in public schools for the simple reason you can't teach bias in those settings. If you want to do it in a private setting, go ahead and do it. But it seems to me there's an animosity because most people have their kids in public schools and they don't want to be associated with those other things. That's all I want to say, and I think you can look at it and see that it's true. Thank you.
You are welcome and continue to call in. I like our lively discussions, Kiyonki. You know,
we have another call if you want to try to. I'm like,
yes,
we got a another. You want to take the other caller or wait till after the break? Give him a little more time to speak. We can wait till after the break to take the next caller. We have a couple more. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we a caller on this line. So after this break, we should speak from your board and then here on an AM 360, inshallah.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a break. And women, remember, call in 515-605-9325 if you want to speak, because we're going to have a 30-minute after show. So we want to hear from you, to hear what you think about what you heard the men say and how we can best resolve these issues of our day as a partnership. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, and then we'll take some more calls. And the topic of the subject today is private education and critical race theory. Do we need to establish our own schools and stop expecting the public schools to teach what we like? Do we think that teaching critical race theory will teach white children to hate themselves or feel ashamed? Do we think critical race theory will help resolve some of the incorrect teachings of racial superiority? And whose responsibility is it to teach? Is it the parents? Is it the schools? And if we need private schools, who's responsible for establishing them? Well, we've heard a bit about that today. So we're going to take this break, and we'll be right back to take some more calls. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. So stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment.
Mama D, that's you at 773-436.
Children about sex.
All right, hold on. We're gonna get into this today. We're gonna have this conversation.
So
All right. Well, we'll be looking. Make sure you call in. Make sure you call back before. Okay. All right. Hold on. Oh. Okay. All right.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D.
Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Bianca. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Unmuted.
I'm Mama Joy.
And I'm Reverend Rosemary.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and today we have our men-only discussion led by our co-host Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family is listening in. And, of course, men, you can call in on that line. So we can see you directly on the switchboard at 515-605-9891. And women, we're going to be listening in, and we're going to have an after show from 9 to 9:30 Central Time. And we want you to call in before 9, so you can get on our switchboard, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to make your comments. And we've got a comment from Facebook. Yen Viata says we should have a more holistic approach to educating our children. Critical race theory promotes more of a victim mentality and ignores the history of cruelty and violence in Africa before the slave trade. Well, now that's an issue men perhaps need to take a look at. We'll talk about that in the after show more as well. Yes, are we looking at ourselves as victims and not taking responsibility for having created that situation that we found ourselves in? That is a question. I believe we are back with our host, Kareem Hamid. And we can take one more call and then take a call from your switchboard. And, of course, again, we are talking about critical race theory. Yes, are we reinforcing the idea of being victims? And is this empowering or disempowering in teaching history in that manner? Even if people think they're superior. Do you need to pay attention to what they think in their own minds? Can anything anyone thinks, says, or does to you change the reality of who you are, if you know who you are? That's a thought. I believe we're back with our host, Kareem Hamid. And we've got, I'm going to go to 773-450 and then take another call and then go to 312-671. And we will then take, we're going to get to the after show and take 773-737. So hold on. And if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, you can make your comments if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube live, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. Or if you want to, men, you want to join the panel with your comments, call 515-605-9891. So Brother Kareem can see your number on the AM360 switchboard and open your mic. And we've got some folks that have something to say. So, Kareem, are you ready for me to take another caller?
I certainly am.
All right. 773-450. Your mic is open. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments on this topic.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Allah greetings to all.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
I believe that's Brother Obadiah from Chicago.
Obadiah. Yes, you know, first of all, this is a very interesting subject. and just because I want to throw in the plug, my main reason for always listening to this program, because it's about solutions. People complain so much. Nobody wants a solutionary. So let's deal with the solution. First of all, when it comes to education, you can even think of my own personal life. I went to public schools, right? So you learn to read and write. Of course, education is kind of questionable because they give you a lot of information that's not true. But you have to figure it out later on. So here's the bottom line. Of course, every child's education needs to be supplemented. We didn't even have a bunch of money, but my father would go to a thrift store and get A through Z dictionaries and encyclopedia books for us to use. And I would read the A through Z encyclopedia or dictionary so that I would know what was going on in the world. They don't teach that in school. You're dealing with what traditionally they do. They do exactly what brainwash education is. They lie to you. They tell you all this stuff. You believe in Columbus and all this other stuff. That is on us because at the same time they're teaching Santa Claus and all this other foolishness that has nothing to do with life and how you evolve. So, of course, you should definitely supplement your education your whole life. Never listen to anybody. Once you learn to read and write, read up on it and do your own research to find out what you get. And just to let you all know, just for the heck of it, how serious it's been through the years. Back when I used to go to college in the 70s and 80s, when we went to the library as one of the few black students at the university, because, of course, they had all these white people and everything. We were just rare to even be there. They had just started giving us grants to go to school. But at any rate, we would have to go to a library where they had research book. Now, this is where you get the real information. But you can't take the book out, right? So I would have to steal these books overnight, slide it under some and come bring it back just to get the truth. That's how serious it is about you getting the truth in life. You have to seek it. It's not going to be right in front of your face. It's not going to be on the television or on the internet for you just to get like that. You need to seek the truth, then you will learn. The piece with the critical race theory is this. First of all, who's interested in race if it ain't the people that's afraid of being extinct? Let's go back to that. Because when somebody started thinking, boy, if we go with them, if we get involved with them and we populate, we won't even exist anymore. So that's what started all of this slavery and all this stuff that made black people feel like they weren't even human, including chattel slavery, which they created and went on for what you call that century. So there's still damage left over from that. So in the 60s, when it came up the idea of critical race theory, it was to say, look at what you've done because you created this division among the race or this inferiority complex in a group that doesn't deserve that. As a matter of fact, if you go back to education and study for yourself and do that actual research I just discussed, very few people will do that, by the way. I know when I was in college, I only had one other friend who would have done that. He also went on to learn Hebrew and teach his children and all this other stuff, but we were the only ones thinking like that at that time. So you take that, consider the idea of somebody being treated inferior or 400 years being told you're nothing and nobody, and then you look at today's world and how that's really spilled over. I was growing up, we didn't carjack our grandmama at age 13 to 15 because we just wanted her car and push her down and steal her purse. Where did they get that from? But when society starts taking old people and sticking them in senior citizen homes and nursing homes and anywhere to get them out the way, then grandma's not on the porch or on the block checking everything out, keeping the respect up. So when you deal with critical race theory, they need to put that out. The white folks are the only ones that's afraid of it because they feel like, oh, you talking about race and you can expose all the evil we've done. Yeah, well, let's expose it so we can move on. Okay? The last piece is this. You have to decide, because if you go back far enough in history, you'll see the divide, kingly relationship between us and the Most High. And so if we embrace that culture that went back before what's traditionally taught, we would be where we should be right now. And it isn't in front of a television. It's about open skies and looking up at the sky that's above you for what you need. There's birds, all types of animals out there, and things to teach you about what you're supposed to do in the whole of things. They keep teaching us about me, mine, I existence, and we keep bumping our heads against the wall. We're created to be a we, us, and our group. So I'm part of the new group that's coming in. The old group of these presidents and all these people in government that just want to do wars and all this, they'll be eliminated. And when they're gone, we're the ones that are going to create something different. So it's interesting to speak on that, but I just say I digress to what's traditionally taught, and that's what you have to be concerned about, what they teach your children in school so that you can teach them what you're supposed to teach them about who they are. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Obadiah. Okay. Thank you. Excellent commentary. Okay, I thought I had someone here on the line. Okay, well, what we'll do is I'll go through our guest panel. Praise be to Almighty God. Abdul Shaheed, if you would share, please.
Yes, sir. Everyone has made some excellent comments and gave us something to think about. But the fact of the matter is this. There are people in our society just do not want certain people to make progress. Critical race theory is not taught in K-12 school. It's not taught there. And they pass a law not to make sure that it's not taught there. Well, so we're going to continue to teach the other lies that they've been teaching us all the time, teaching our children all the time. So the fact of the matter is this. If we're going to make progress for ourselves and our kind and for mankind, we have to teach the truth. This is what we have to promote, not continue to promote the status quo and teach lies. It's obvious that Columbus did not discover America and so many other things, lessons that we have to put up with are not true. Why can't we settle up on what's true? The unfiltered truth, and let the chip fall where they may. But it oscillates the responsibility of the parent to teach and educate their children. All what we need to do is pass on our experiences, our life experiences. This is what education is all about. The parent must pass on their life experiences to their children and the grandchildren, so they will not make the same mistakes that the parent made. Life is about correcting mistakes, not repeating them. This is the warning to ensure that we do not repeat the mistakes of our parent and grandparent and even our teachers so we can move forward to make progress. But if you don't know and never analyze and never studied the mistakes of the past, then we're just bound to keep repeating them. So critical race theory, I think we all have to settle up on the definition. And this is where the narrative is taken over by most of the Republican states. They define what you're talking about. And they've taken over the narrative. Critical race theory is not taught in school, in public school, from K-12. It's not taught there. It's a postgraduate and analysis and study to understand the impact of the past on certain people. It is as simple as that. But if you're in power and you don't want things to change, I guess I will fight against it too. But it still doesn't make it to be the truth. We have to teach the truth, the unfiltered truth. And that's not two truths, it's one truth. And we should expose everybody to it for those who are responsible for teaching the truth. Thank you. Brother Ma'am, I think I'll just leave it right there.
Mm-hmm. Sound like before you take the next panelist, I think we got another person on the line who wants to speak. Area code 312671. You got a comment on the topic today, a brief comment on today's topic before we take the next panelist.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All right. Okay, we win. This is Minister Robert Floyd Plump, Chicago, Illinois. And what I have to say is what the brother just last said, that's fantastic. We have to teach the truth, and the truth must prevail. Matter of fact, it will prevail. And black love is number one. Black love matters too. Also, black love cures all that is wrong and make it right. Now, I got something special, Naima, for the, everybody in the world. And this is both from Brandon Johnson.
You know, Minister Plump, this is an international Chicago show. We can't do Chicago politics today because they're really talking about a national issue. We got just hold on that, and we'll get back to that when we get more into Chicago politics before the election. We appreciate your call in, and we're going to continue. We'll be on that tomorrow when we come back to talk more about what's happening locally here. Go ahead with your next panelist. Brother Kareem.
Okay. Yes. Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, if you would, share some brief comments. We've got 11 minutes of broadcast time left, so let us be conscious of that.
Yes, sir.
And we have two more callers on two more panelists that will speak after you. So if you would be conscious of that, thank you. Amen.
Yes, sir. I'll try to be very quick, and that is to say this here. Times have changed. Today is our time. Not just black. It's the time for those of us particularly who went through this trial here in America, through many things, and we've seen success in many ways. We've seen failure in many ways. But it's time for us to come together, build what we need, to teach humanity. And you teach humanity best when you live what you say you believe in. I don't believe, I'm like Imam Hamid, I don't believe the LBG, whatever they call, belong with our argument. Just like we wouldn't, if we arguing that blacks have been treated injustice, we wouldn't feel comfortable with a bunch of Caucasians saying they wasn't treated injustice. This is a different thing. Put things where they belong. Everybody ride in on us, and we understand it because we've been treated so bad. If they treat us right, then maybe they can get a break. But then that argument should be a human argument, not black, not white, not this, that. So we need to work together. We need to open our schools. We need to have our rules in our schools. And those rules go by the scriptures. That was God has given us. There's not a body of people, I ask the Arabs when I speak to them, show me a place that would be the design that we should follow if it's not here in America. So I'll leave it with that so someone else can get in. Thank you for having me. I appreciate everything. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Ayub Bilal. Thank you for your excellent commentary. Now I call upon Imam D. Lacey Umar to give some commentary, if you would, please.
Yes. Peace and blessings to everyone again. Just wanted to allow for the callers to come in. I agree with what Brother Shahid and Ma'am Bilal said, that, you know, this is our time, and we really need human to think in a different terminology other than color human, because some of the issues we are dealing with, they are shared concerns by all races and colors, et cetera, et cetera. So just I think we have to reprogram the thinking to see ourselves as we are created human beings of a specific ethnicity, but shared freedom spaces, sharing spaces with all the other colors on this planet. Thank you. Peace and blessings. Ramadan Mubarak, everyone. Bless Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Blessed Ramadan. And we are hitting up upon something that is preparing us for the present and the future. As I stated earlier, we are in a universal environment now. Globalization is real. Universality is real. And in order to prosper in that environment, the universality of man, then man's thinking, must rise to that level of consciousness in order to make progress in this world. And we want our children to be qualified to move into this new dynamic, the globalization and universality of the human being. But we have to deconstruct the old thinking. And you deconstruct it by critiquing it. You have to critique it and see where mistakes were made. See where the flaws are so that we never repeat that again. There's such a thing called cause and effect. We are good at responding to the effect of something, but you go directly to the cause and you pull it up by the root. And that way it does not continue to grow. You know, the know you the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will set you free from biases, from racism, sexism, you name it. So, but we have to expose the lie. This is too important. The future of humanity is hanging on this, that we deconstruct the old paradigm of thinking of white supremacy and others as being less than. And you can only do that when you critique, not from an emotional level, but from a therapeutic level, so that the human being can heal from the misnomers and the lies that have been spread among us as human beings, and we begin to treat each other as one species, as brothers of each other. We are human. So that is the responsibility of parents. Every parent that is aware, that's conscious, can direct their children themselves. It doesn't have to... It does not require a large building somewhere, although that would be excellent. But right in your, turn your homes into institutions of learning. Every parent that shares the idea of white supremacy must be deconstructed. They're obligated to share that information with their children. Race was not brought to me as a young child. I had to walk into racism blindly. My parents didn't discuss it. They did not discuss it. And here I am, a young boy, and I walk into racism, and it shocks my system because I've not been educated by my parents. They were obligated to inform me of the dangers of the environment that I was living in. We have to do that for all of us. I include Caucasians in this critical race theory so that you can heal, and you're not all up in the air about quotas, about color-coded quotas, that we are all human. And the old idea has to be eradicated. And we are obligated as parents to educate our children. This race theory, you speak of Africa and other nations. This idea of white supremacy, it went global. So this is not just a local issue here. This has universal implications. It needs to be discussed around the world so that we can eradicate this silliness of color coding connected to the value of human beings. And I'm not looking forward to public school doing that. Only those parents that are conscious, because many of them are victims of the old way of thinking, and it takes time to eradicate an idea. At one time, human beings believed the earth was flat. That was taught. That was taught in institutions of learning. But that was proven to not be true. And look at how far we have come. That was an old idea, but it has died. It's the same way with the idea of white supremacy shall die. It is dying a quick death now as we speak. But I still say the responsibility is on every household, every parent, every uncle, every aunt. We have to educate our children properly and not continue to give them these false ideas. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, just want to let women know we're going to be speaking on an after show, so you need to call in now, 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325. We're going to play our ending, and then we're going to head on to the after show. Press 1 if you're on switchboard. We've got some callers now, but I wanted anybody on the AM360 line that wants to continue with the after show, you need to call in now. Switchboard closes at 9, so 515-605-9325. And we got a couple of comments here on Facebook with our viewers. Zelda says, Grand Rising, men only. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. We appreciate your candor. Amen. Obadiah, teach. And then she says, and Viata says, they've been pushing critical race theory in elementary and high school in Florida. The truth is every culture on planet Earth has practiced cruelty to others. So let's educate the new and older generations with a peace-filled curriculum. Yes, we're going to talk more about that in the after show. Thank you, Beata. And Beata also says, please stop speaking about the lie of white supremacy. Speak and promote only truth of human unity and similarities. Some of us need to work on healing the past wounds instead of promoting the wounds. Well, that's a statement to definitely take a look at. Are we healing by talking about the past pain? So thank you, Brother Kareem. I know we'll be heading off in about 10 seconds, so I'm going to invite you to join us in the after show. And thank you so much for hosting a fantastic discussion. We appreciate you.
I want to thank you.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa,
Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And welcome to the after show. Here after the men only discussion. Well, you heard what they had to say about critical race theory and our responsibility to teach our children, and some who said maybe the public schools should introduce the history of what happened in America to all children. We're going to open your microphones and get your thoughts, and let me open up 773-737, and here are dear Mama D. Thanks for holding on and hanging in there with us. Well, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this? And is it the responsibility of the public schools to teach the history of America in the way we believe it needs to be taught? What are your thoughts on that?
Hallelujah, greetings, Global Transformers and Grand Rising. As a Crimes Against Humanity descendant and Jim Crow genocide survivor and member of untreated heart, mind, subjugated syndrome damage, we have to follow certain rules if we want to teach our children at home or if we are teaching them at a different kind of private school. There are certain rules that you must follow in order for your children to have the proper credentials when they leave their homeschooling environment or leave their private school environment. And I do believe in school choice. I think that that is an answer of a lot of our problems, because otherwise it locks you into inferior education. And that's where it begins. You know, the word theory. Why are you saying theory doesn't have the word history in it, and it doesn't have the word truth in it? And that it is reverse segregation every time you say people of color. When I was growing up in Jim Crow genocide days, I did not feel good about being frozen out of the human family because my skin color was black. And these little white children today, they don't feel good about being frozen out of the human family because their skin color is white. And I've heard people tell me, well, you know, white is not a color. I said, okay, then what color is snow? So obviously white is a color. But every time you say black and brown, look what happens to red, yellow, and white. Why are you using this reverse segregation language? It's written. One of the things you have to do, pass a constitutional test, and that test says it's unlawful to judge people based on race, creed, or color. But we have more racism than we have ever had before, because every time somebody opens their mouth, they're saying people of color. You know, the fact of the matter is, we need our own category because of our historic experience like no other experience on the planet Earth. We need our own category. I think that category should be NAAs, Indigenous Native American Africans. You are indigenous if you're in the country before it becomes a country, and 1619 came before 1776, so you are indigenous, and that's why Richard Wright said native sons. You are indigenous Native American Africans. You need to claim the country that your ancestors suffered and sacrificed so much for, and yet you're claiming the continent, African America. The people in Africa don't claim the continent. Every one of them say, I'm from Ghana, I'm from Kenya, I'm from Nigeria. They don't claim the continent, and they live on the continent. So it's a lot of ignorance that we have to undo. Claim the country. That's what's on your passport. You won't find Africa on your passport. You'll find America on your passport. So we are the more Americans than anybody in America, because all we have is the slave owner's name, his mentality of love thy neighbor instead of thyself, which is twisted. You're supposed to love thy neighbor as thyself. We got it twisted. We love thy neighbor instead of ourselves. So when it comes to and this is one of our major things, but if we got away from that word theory, why are you saying theory when you have all this history that will lead you to the truth? And why are you using this word reverse segregation? I remember people telling me, oh, well, you don't want to, blacks would go off if they knew the truth. Why would they go off if they knew the truth? Every Sunday in Christian churches, they talk about the violence of a man being hung on the cross, but they put a positive spin on it. He died for your sin, so that doesn't put a positive spin on it. But it's a violent act. It's a
violent act, and they talk about it every Sunday. You're right. And they talk about that more than they talk about the positive things he taught. They talk about the violent way he was treated. They focus on that more than the teachings of the man that we have.
Absolutely. And so at the end of the day, we need to comprehend and claim the country. Do you know English is our mother tongue language? Everybody else that comes over here, they come from a country by choice with a land and a language. And here we have all of this bilingual preferred teaching, but we're not bilingual. Should we have to give up our mother tongue language, which is American English and spoken with our Ebonics accent? Do we have to give up that because they last week and 2 weeks ago in Chicago, they gave the Statuary Seekers family $20 million. City Hall voted for them to have $20 million to support their families, and they were promoting the idea. It doesn't matter how you came or how long you've been here. We are all the same. No, we're not all the same. And if we should not go along with that. We are voters. We are American citizens. And those sanctuary settlers that just got here yesterday with the governmental leg up, Reparations Dream Act and everything else, and we should not tolerate that. So why are we, and why are we using this ugly reverse segregation language, people of color, black and brown? There are other colors.
And everything
that
is a color, even
so
pink
ugly
is a color. But Mama D, we got a couple of more calls. Hold on. We're going to come back to you and open your mic. I want to get a few responses to some of the points that you've raised, because these are some critical points. And we need to figure out what is the best way to move into the future so that we have a emotionally healthy, balanced society. So let me open the mic. And again, if you're on our switchboard, you can press 1 and let us know you've got something to say. We're still live on Facebook and YouTube on The Female Solution. If you're watching, you can write in your comments. We will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And let me open the mic for Beata at 407. Well, you raised some points about the victim mentality, and is this reinforcing that thought? Give us your thoughts on how we should handle this issue of private education and critical race theory.
Thank you. Thank you, Naima. It was a great conversation. But every time I heard the word white supremacy, I was getting triggered because it was used a lot in the show today by the brother. And I was like, why do you keep promoting a lie? So for me, it's a globe. We live in a global community. Like it or not, Chicago, Florida, Orlando is just a very tiny spot on the whole earth plane. So when you have grandchildren, I have to think differently our history, especially when your grandchildren are biracial, their mother's Colombian. I have Irish ancestors, and Naima, we talked about when I watched that Netflix documentary, African Queens, in Jinga, I realized more than ever how violent our history is globally. Africans, Irish, Colombians, every culture on this planet has been committing the crime of violence and hatred towards their fellow cultures. So when I think about what he was saying today about CRT and all of this, is a global community we live in. We have the internet. My Facebook friends live all over the world. I can't just focus on what's happening here in my little community without giving consideration to what my global friends are saying. So educating our youth, this is what it really comes down to. This new generation is on the internet. They're on their phones. I asked my granddaughter something. I said, where did you learn that? She said, oh, I watch YouTube. She's only 8 years old. Her brother is six.
Yep.
They have tablets. They're on the internet. So we got to be able to relate, or we should be able to relate to this new generation, not from our victim mentality, not from our pain and our wounds that we were experiencing as a baby boomer generation or older. We got to get that healed. We need to heal our wounds so that we can deal with this current generation that is getting moving fast with this technology. If we don't keep up and have current and discussions, not about white supremacy, because that's a lie. Why do we keep talking about white supremacy? It's a lie. So we got to move forward and talk about the cultures in this world, on this earth, that are creating a new earth, a new paradigm, new education. And that's why you, Naima, and all the female solution hosts are on board with a new peace education system. That's where we have to go. Stop talking about racism. Stop talking about race. We got to get in line with the new generations and what they are feeling, why there's a high suicide rate. Why are young people dying faster in the last 2 years in it? These are the things we need to talk about and stop looking at the past violence in one area of the planet. The United States was just a small turtle island, as Kwame talks about it. Let's talk globally now. Let's talk globally how we can heal the planet, and heal your internal, your personal past. Heal your past and stop talking about your wounds and your past. And let's talk to this new generation and help them create and help all of us create a better society.
So let's take a look then. We have a global society, and we also have a very mobile society. You can get anywhere in the world in a matter of hours.
Yes.
So can we still identify ourselves by a location? Is that really relevant anymore? There used to be a time where, you know, we walk where you had to go, so you pretty much were confined to a small geographical area. Now, as you said, we have a global society. People are traveling all over everywhere. They're intermarrying with all different races. And as you said, many of our children, they have married people from other countries, from other cultures, from other so-called races. So there's no category even for them on a census form, and they have to keep changing it every year. And then when we talk about people from Africa, well, it depends on when you came. You have a lot of new immigrants who've intermarried with other people from other places, people who've married with, you know, as Mama D says, the indigenous people who were here before the country became a country. How do you define who you are based on a location when that's such a transient thing? And how do you define your identity based on a skin color when many different places around the world create different skin colors? I mean, you have people from India who are darker than I am, and I'm pretty chocolate. So how do you decide an identity based on a location or a physical feature when we are both global and mobile and intermingling with people of many histories? Do we need a different definition of who we are? And Can we identify ourselves as merely a soul inside a body? And the soul that you are is who you are, and not
and
the covering that you're wearing.
And that depends on your, that depends on each individual's experience and circumstances that they're living in. I went to Costa Rica. I never thought of myself as an American or black. The people there are doing so many different things, tourism, building houses, and you just blend in there and enjoy the atmosphere. You have conversations. I had conversations with people from all over the world when I went to the yoga center. So it depends on your experience, which might be limited to one little city. If you don't get out of that city, then you have to identify with the people in your community and environment versus being able to travel and identify with a global family. You don't identify as a race when you're traveling all over the world. But if you stay in your little community, the black people this, the black people that, and then that's where you live and that's your limited experience, then you're going to have a different belief and a different point of view. Again, I think we got to focus on these children who are looking beyond their communities, many of them, except the criminals who want to stay in the community and the hood. But many of our children are looking beyond their community, especially if their parents are educated. They're teaching their children to look beyond their community. You listen to Pianki and how his grandchildren, he has been training his grandchildren to be global citizens. They're not just local citizens. And that's where it's going. AI is taking over. If we don't keep up, guess what? We're going to fall behind, and we don't want our children to fall behind. So we've got to renew our thinking and our belief system.
So what do you see as the ideal for children to grow up learning in order for them to create the kind of world where we don't have this conflict or this belief that other people who live somewhere else or look different in some physical way, some minor physical difference, that they are somehow the enemy? How do we change what we teach children as they grow up and interact?
You know, I thought about that, Naima. We need to teach them world history. First of all, not just focusing on the last 400 years in the United States. Let's go world, global history. All cultures have committed violent acts of hatred and murder and decapitation. World history. Give the children a world history of the cruelty and hatred in all areas of this planet. And then move beyond that and advance and tell them now we want to create a peaceful society, a peaceful earth. Now you know the history. It wasn't just in the United States that they were cruel. They were cruel all over the damn planet. Let's move out of that mentality, that unconscious mentality, and let's move into a more conscious way of living where we respect every human being on this planet and even the animals. Stop eating all these animals. And start being more kind to the animals, the people. This is where we need to go, in my opinion. Be consciousness on every level. That's what, because there's the reason we're still over there trying to promote war in the Ukraine and send them, well, because we got an unconscious group of people in Washington, D.C., all out for money. And we need to get rid of some of these institutions and these systems that are unconscious and only dealing with making more money and sending more bombs. The warmongers need to go. These are the things we got to teach this new generation if we want to see something different.
So Mama D was saying that they're calling it critical race theory, as if it's a theory, you know, someone's point of view and not necessarily truth. I tend to think that everything becomes a person's perspective, because even if we say, well, let's teach world history, it's always going to be from different people's perspective. Just like when we talk about American history, if you talk to the indigenous people who were here centuries before the Europeans came, they experienced the invasion of people from another continent differently than the people who came and talked about exploring and discovering and conquering. And the people who were here speak of invasion and pollution and destruction. So even when we look at world history, it's going to be told differently depending on who's telling the story. When I
right.
went to South Korea and saw their war museum, and what they attempted to do was to give the whole history of all the wars that had been fought in that region, the centuries where China attacked Korea because they wanted to, because Korea is a very strategically located peninsula between China and Japan. So they had the history of when China and Korea had wars, and then the history of when Japan and Korea had wars, and the history of when, you know, all everybody's fighting everybody, trying to control a piece of land. And what they focused on is look at the destruction of life, and they have lists of all the people who died, with the purpose being it was all bad. It wasn't, well, the Chinese are the bad people, or the Japanese are bad people, or the Koreans are the bad people, or the victims, or whatever, but it's look at how we destroyed life. Let's learn from that and not do that again. So
do you
think it's possible?
You got to give these kids a chance to have a conversation about it. The one thing I love about our governor is he keeps bringing forth the idea we don't want to indoctrinate our students. We want to teach them knowledge, help to develop their own ideas, their own beliefs, their own critical thinking about what they are learning. We got to present world history, like you said, from whatever point of view, whatever book, and then let these children have conversations about, ask their, what do you think about that? How can we do this? How can we not indoctrinate them, but help them think about what they just learned? And that's what a lot of these programs, critical race theory doesn't really do that. They indoctrinate you this, and we were victims. We were all victims. This is what happened, white supremacy. The whites did this, the white did that, and now they're bad people. No, 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 no. Present the knowledge, the information, and then say, all right, let's have a, this is a whole year. They should have world history in every level of education. And then talk, let the children write about it, talk about it, because it's so important and it's so diverse what they're going to learn from the whole world point of view. They need to have conversations and writing. These kids are really smart. They're on the internet all the time. So they have an opinion about everything. Even my six-year-old has an opinion about everything. So we got to let them speak and hear them and then respond to what they're saying so that we develop a conversation and they have a healthy attitude about what they're learning, not be indoctrinated by all this BS.
Okay. So now the question is, and hold on, I'm going to come back to you in a moment. I'm going to ask this question. Can we discuss what everybody did without people becoming defensive? Just as Africans have a different view of what happened in the slave trade. Now, I had a conversation with a Nigerian, and he said, well, yeah, we got rid of the people who, the weaker tribes, and, yes, we sold them off. And there's no remorse about it. It's like, yeah, we did that. You know, they were weaker. They were who we didn't want. We got rid of the riffraff. We got rid of everybody who was politically undesirable to the ruling class. Yeah, we did that. We got rid of you people. And that is the point of view. And even if you look at the movie The Woman King, and there was a lot of controversy about the fact that there was enslavement of people captured and sending them and selling them to the Europeans for income, and that was a business, and there was no guilt about that. You know, and they really didn't want to highlight it too much because they know we feel bad about it and we don't like taking responsibility for that happening, but we did that. And will everybody have the maturity to admit what they did, the ugliness of what they did, so that, as you say, we can heal? So, Mama D, I'm going to come to you first on that. How do we take responsibility for creating the condition that we are in? We did this.
The
and it feels good to blame white folks, but can't everybody take responsibility?
Same.
What's your thoughts on it?
White people did the same thing. They got rid of all of their breath. Then they could walk around with bodies, with billy clubs, They no longer needed weapons because they got rid of all the troublemakers. They sent them off to the new world. So that didn't originate. It wasn't an original thought. All people did it. When you got a new world, just send all those troublemakers to the new world. And this is what the pilgrims did. So America was founded by riffraff, the worst of American society.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about that. And do you know that March 25th was the 22nd anniversary of the International Day of Remembrance for the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade? Yes, victims. We were victims. We can't just hide that history because we don't
Are we victims or are we experiencing the same thing the Europeans, like you just said? They feel like they got rid of their riffraff, you know, and the Europeans, they don't feel bad about that.
No, they don't feel bad. And the other thing was slavery to Africans did not mean that you gave up your humanity. Like slavery during biblical times did not mean that you didn't have a culture, that you didn't have a family. That was something totally brand new when you make people chattel, a movable property thing, no longer a human being person. And to think that have gotten over
They didn't care. The people who sold the folks, they didn't care what happened to us after we got over here. They're like, hey, look, we made our money. We got rid of them. We're done. They didn't care about that.
Right. Exactly. So, and getting back to the interracial and all of that, in 2018, I went to Ghana. That was called the year of return. We were getting ready for 1619 to 2019. And we all had to take a DNA test. So I get this DNA test, and I'm all hyped up about, what tribe in Africa did I come from? And then I see European. I got on the phone, I called, and they said, well, you know, and it written on the paper.
What country? What European country?
European. That's where my ancestry is. And they said, well, this might come as a shock to you. If you didn't know, well, I did know that my mama was the yellow gal. You know, the yellow gals, they had that pretty color and they had them pretty eyes. And so all of this European, I couldn't believe it. I have been so ashamed to even bring that up. And I called them up and I complained. They said, look, lady, we took it from your cheek. This is, and I said, well, when I go back to the yellow gals, how my mama had that, they all had that pretty, them pretty eyes and that pretty color. And some of my cousins did pass for white. And my aunt was light-skinned and green eyes and all that kind of stuff. But I had no idea that they would actually say European and not one drop of the African tribe that I was from. And so,
interesting.
We are a mixture of people, and we are not the haters, but we have been so ashamed that the victim blames themselves for being victimized if they don't get counseling and they don't get help. That's like the battered wife says, it was my fault. I shouldn't have burned the watch. So he's going to defend that victim.
I agree with it. Well, you know, and Mama D, I do thank you for telling that story, because a lot of people have expectations of what they're going to discover once they do the DNA test, and then they're not who they thought they were. And so then once your genetics shows that you're from somewhere else, then you have to answer the question, so who do I believe I am, and who do I owe allegiance to, and am I more than this body that I'm wearing? And that's the question we got to answer. We got to go, but I want to thank you so much, Mama D. I'm going to see if, y'all going to try to make me have another half hour on the show. All right, more people have pressed one. Well, hold that thought, Mama D. I'm going to get a response from Viata, and then I'm going to take 724. Hold on, I'm going to get to you. Okay, so Viata, The fact of the matter is we are all these different races of people, so-called races. And, I mean, in terms of our geographic location of our ancestry, it's everywhere. can we let the idea of race go and teach another way of identifying a person other than where your ancestors came from, what they did, and what you look like? Is it possible to grow beyond that? And is it possible to admit that everybody did something bad, but it doesn't mean you're bad because the people whose genetics you share did something bad? It's just for us learning what not to do to each other. Is there a way to teach the history of what happened without anybody feeling like a victim or anybody feeling like a villain? Is there a way to do that? And is there a way to identify ourselves beyond our genetics? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, only if we take a higher perspective. There's overstanding, having a universal cosmic perspective, why we're here, what's our purpose. Then there's understanding, you're standing under your, quote, truth of your journey and so forth. But my belief is, if you don't believe in reincarnation, past lives, then you're going to have a limited understanding. But if you have a belief that we have been here before, this is not my first rodeo, then you can come out of victim mode and say, oh, maybe it's something I did in a past life. But I have people in my life who don't believe in reincarnation, so they're limited in their belief and moving on to the overstanding, higher perspective. So we have to just be ourselves, be yourself, whatever that is. I'm going to take a higher road, higher perspective. Everything is in divine order. Those slaves that came over here, the Creator wasn't blind. When all these people suffered and died, there is no blindness in the universe, cosmic order, karma. That's my belief. So everybody who doesn't believe that, they're going to struggle with that idea that, oh, maybe I should just take responsibility. Maybe I did something in a past life that I'm just reaping and sowing right in this life. So I'm okay with that. I'm going to let go of all my wounds and my problems I had 20, 40, 50 years ago and just be a conscious individual, a conscious human being. That's the struggle I think we're in.
Mm. Well, thank you, Viata. We appreciate you so very much for that perspective. I thank all of our, and we've just got such brilliant sisters on the Female Solution. You can hear Viata every Friday morning and on Sunday evening. And you can hear Mama D every fourth Saturday. And we've got a team of hosts that is just brilliant, so you need to tune in every day. And we do a special after show on Mondays, and now we're doing a special after show on the last Wednesday of every month after our men-only discussion. And I'm going to take the call from 724. Thank you, all of you all on the switchboard. If you got a thought, press 1 now so I can decide how much more time we're going to take. But, you know, Viadi brought up a major point, and it's like if you give people a word puzzle and you have M-I, blank, blank, I, blank, blank, I, P-P-I, and you say, this is a state in America, solve this puzzle, but you can't use the letter S. So how do you figure it out? If you can't use the letter S, but you know it's Mississippi, well, you can't solve the puzzle unless you can use the letter S. So we can't really fix this problem of identity unless we're allowed to know about many lives, that we are multi-dimensional beings with many life experiences. If we're not allowed to understand that we're eternal beings having many life experiences, then we're going to be stuck on identifying who we are according to the body we're wearing and not realizing we want every kind of body so we can have every life experience so that our soul can understand from different perspectives. If we're not allowed to learn that, we cannot solve this puzzle. Like we can't solve the puzzle of what's the name of the state and the major letters are missing and we can't use those letters. That's how I see it. We have to be able to teach our children who they are as an eternal being, having many life experiences. And your current identity inside this body is not who you are. It's the experience you're having. That's my thought. Let me take, I just knew y'all just ain't ready to go. Okay, so we're going to take 724 and then we're going to take 336. 724-866. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Thank you for the show. It was a great show with a lot of different perspectives. And I also think that once you lead with, we're human beings first, and we're deposited all over the earth, and we have a difference. And when we recognize the difference, and then teach about the commonalities too, because I think, you know, that's compare and contrast, and you look at the similarities and you look at the differences, and most of the time the similarities are more prevalent. And just like a couple of brothers were saying, the critical race theory is not taught in elementary school yet, but it's being put out on the television like it is. And we're discussing something that hasn't even happened yet, but in hopes that, I guess, as everything else trickles down from the universities down into the schools, that it makes you wonder, do you really want to talk about it or you don't want to talk about it? So people are already talking about it, and it's not in education. I don't know the schools where I am, I know it's not taught. And I don't ever remember being taught anything similar being taught. So I think we have to understand
from?
How.
Where are you from?
Pennsylvania. I've been in Pennsylvania mostly all my life, but I have a. But the little small town that I grew up in Pottsville, we actually in the small section, because realizing after I became adult that we were actually isolated in the community. And we didn't know it because we had the structures in the community that we didn't have to go outside to look for anything. We had our own, and we grew up, there was Italians in our, Italian, Jewish people. So now when I look back as an adult, I see mostly all of what they call minorities were in our community. So we had this world sense. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was Italians, and I learned now the different languages and different things that fit to. I learned now, became a Muslim, that's an Arabic term. But that was from families from that came from other countries, and they settled all in there together. We had the Welsh, we had Europeans, but like some of the people were saying, they may have been people that were rejected or people that wanted to be free and made the choices to come to a new place to have a new start for them and their families. So I'm enjoying the conversation. And
thank
I think
you so much. Oh, give me a name again, please.
This is Sister Gail Muhammad.
Oh, yes, Sister Gail. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
I agree that we can just start with being a human being and agree that that's what makes us part of one family, then we can stop looking at each other as different and enemies. And now one last thing before I take the next call. Do you think there's any teaching spiritually that people can receive that will give them respect for others who are different than they are, whether it's different lifestyle, different physical features, different customs? Is there a teaching we can give the next generation of children where they can respect the differences of people and not feel like they must attack them if they think differently or behave differently? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we pretty much we have that. It's just that in what we have, here we go, what we have in theory is not always what we practice. So,
yes.
You know, that's a difficult thing. And I think if you just let people choose who they want to be, and then life circumstances, I think, will show them, you know, if they are. But as myself, as a Muslim, we have a criterion. And the Quran is that criterion that to judge. Now, that doesn't mean that doesn't say that we to be the one to go out and hurt somebody. Recognize, you know, that that's the choice they made. And, you know, there's consequences in all choices that we make, good consequences and bad consequences. But I don't, you know, as myself, as a Muslim, and, you know, now during the month of Ramadan, we're reading the Quran more than we do maybe any other time. And it's a constant reminder every year of how, you know, we have something to judge a good life about. And I don't see, I have not learned, I didn't learn hate from my parents, and I have not, I was a Christian before I accepted Islam. I didn't learn hate there, and I don't learn hate in Islam. So for me, I don't see, you know, to hate people, you know, and how and you live in peace. And that's not to say that, you know, you don't recognize certain things that people that may have done to you, and how you deal with them. I think the best way is to separate yourself from those that, you know, you may not, you know, agree with or that have hurt you. It's how you deal with them. And most of the time for me is to separate yourself from the hurt and the pain, and you deal with it and try not to carry it on to new situations and new relationships.
I think that's wise. Well, thank you so much, Sister Gail.
Thank you.
Pennsylvania. We appreciate you for calling in. Absolutely. Well, let's see if we can take one more call before we go. Area code 336, we got our Mama AZ, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today.
Grand Rising, Dr. Latif, and thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Okay, the sister that was just that was just on, I really appreciate you. Can you still hear me?
Yes, yes, you still hear, yes.
Okay, my phone is acting up. She said something very, it brought me back to the time that we were stationed in Germantown, Pennsylvania. At that time, my husband was recruiting. And it was so interesting to me because in this part of Pennsylvania, this little town, the people would wave at you like down in South Carolina. And it was shocking to me, you know, and just the attitude that the people had in this little community was so refreshing. And what I want to say, just like Dr. and thank you, sister, that just spoke. I really appreciate your wise wisdom. And Dr. V, what Dr. V had to say about all that she had to say, we've been all people. We and the Creator is not stuck on stupid. The Creator knows what is best for everybody. We come to this planet Earth because this is a harsh boot camp, and we come here to learn. Even though I'm still learning at 71 with issues that I am dealing with, health issues, and I have to learn to just to be quiet and listen to the Creator, the Most High, minister to me. And it's wise that if we can allow our children to travel and to see and to be with other cultures, you know, if we have the power and the finances to take our children to different places, they would be better human beings to just to be able to commune with other nationalities and other cultures. And I could go on and on about this. And I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to share some of that with my second child because she showed me who she is by the traveling, even in the U.S. that we were able to do, even up on clan country and territory, you know, with people who would lynch you. But the Creator gave me such a personality that if some of those people wanted to do harm to me, they kind of think twice about it. And that was the Creator's protection, and I see that now. So that's my word, and thank you for allowing me. Thank you, family. Peace. I hope.
Peace and blessings, I hope. Thank you so much, Mama AZ. We appreciate you so very much for sharing your wisdom. And thank you all for joining us on this discussion today, and thank you all for staying for the after show. We appreciate you all sharing your wisdom. Our goal is always to create solutions to the issues we face. And this is the Morning Think Tank. We think of ways to transform the world we live in from the way it is to the way it should be. That's our goal every day with these discussions. We thank the men for addressing this topic and bringing some things to light. We do need to have a plan for the next generation of children that we are raising. We know that we cannot continue what we've done in the past, because what we did in the past has produced what we're experiencing today, which is horrible. We're experiencing violence, poverty, despair, suicide, mental illness. We created this with the choices that we made. We keep trying to blame people, but there is a collective responsibility for the condition that we created. We are creator beings, and we create the life we experience. So when we can take responsibility, and I believe someone, a couple of the callers and a couple of the panelists said this also, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to teach something to the next generation that will give them the tools they need to create the kind of world we want to live in. That means everybody has to let go of the egoic need to feel superior. Our Creator, all that is, does not have a favorite people on the planet, does not have a favorite gender, does not even have a favorite species. I'm sorry, mankind. We're not the favorite species. We are simply life force energy, as is everything. And we have to have respect for everything on the planet and its right to live as well. We're the ones tearing up the earth, not any other species. So we got to look at us. Are we, with a theory of superiority, destroying every other life? We can't point the fingers of blame at any other race if we're all guilty of that. We are all souls. And if we want to teach our children respect for all life, then we have to demonstrate what that looks like by showing, first of all, respect for ourselves. Doing no harm to any other being, whatever and wherever and whoever it may be. That means we have the responsibility to grow in our understanding and not seek to place blame or spew hate or feelings of vengeance on anybody whose ancestry did anything, because everybody's ancestry did something, and that's why we're in this condition we're in today. The experiment of planet Earth is coming to an end. The experiment is, can we descend to the lowest levels, the densest level of existence, the lowest energy, in which we are believing we're separate from God, not remembering that we came from the divine energy of creation? Can we get to this lowest level and still find our way back to the light? That's what this experience is all about. Finding our way back to the light means finding our way back to the remembrance, the realization that we are all part of the divine energy of creation, and that energy is only love. Anything that is not love, it's not from the Creator.
And there is only one power. There isn't God and the devil. Just like you can't go into a room and turn on darkness. There's either light or the absence of light. There's knowledge and the absence of knowledge. So, as this experiment in the absence of light here on planet Earth, as Mama AZ said, this is the boot camp. Can you find your way back to the light when your memory of who you are as an eternal being, a being of light, has been erased? Can you find your way back to the light? That's what this experience is. And as we remember who we are, creative beings of light, life force energy, as we remember who we are, we will not need to harm another being. We will learn how to coexist and provide for the needs of all without violating anyone. That's the challenge we have. So what teaching can we give our children so that they may benefit from the mistakes we made as a human family? Learn so that they learn not to repeat those mistakes, not to be angry, not to be vengeful, not to feel like helpless victims, but to understand that that behavior is a reflection of the absence of light, the absence of knowledge, the absence of a conscious connection to God. And that is not the life we want for them in the future. So let us choose to teach that which will enlighten our children and bring back light to planet Earth so that we can enjoy the future that we create. I'm Naima Latif. Join us tomorrow for our dear sister, Dr. Debbie Green, and Soulful Solutions on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We love you all, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.